The past couple of weeks, we've been on a new series called Weeds. Everybody say Weeds. Shout out. Say Weeds. Check this out. So many of you might be your first time here, or maybe the past couple weeks, maybe your first time. But check this out. The last month and some change, Pastor Josh was going through a sermon series called The Garden. Okay? The Garden is a representative or a picture of what our hearts should look like. And so, I don't know about you, but if my heart was a garden, I want some nice flowers. You understand what I'm saying? I want some nice junks. I want the, you know, I want the bees buzzing around it, you know what I'm saying? Getting their little pollen, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I want some roses, you know what I'm saying? But the thing is, many times, if we do not tend that garden, if we do not watch over our hearts, things will grow in it that will choke out the very flowers that God has planted there. And these things are called weeds. Everybody say weeds. So the first week we talked about a weed that can choke out the things that God has put, the things that God has placed in us. One is called anger. Now we're not talking, so there's a righteous anger and then there's an unrighteous anger, okay? Like I'm talking about the anger when you mad at folk because they might have hurt you or in some type of way and like, man, you're angry at them. That's what I'm talking about. We got that. Then last Sunday, Pastor Sam taught on lust, how lust can choke out the things that God has placed in you. But this week, we're going to talk about something different, and it's called coming out of Matthew chapter 5, and this is called false commitments. Everybody say false commitments. What is that, Marcellus? Look, I was like, what is that? I ain't know what it was. But check this out. So as you know, the past couple of months, we've been going out of Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 is the very first time we see Jesus teaching. The first time you see Jesus teaching in all of Scripture, Jesus teaching these people on what it looks like to look like God, what it's looked like to follow after him, what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. These things we have to follow. And it's all found in Matthew chapter 5. It's like the standard of heaven. It's kind of like the Constitution. You know, like the Constitution of the United States, you have to follow it. If you break the law, you're going to jail, right? It's the same thing when we are following Jesus, that God has a standard and God has a constitution, right? And that's what Jesus goes through in Matthew chapter 5. But he gets into a place in Matthew chapter 5 and he starts going through these things that will choke out the things that God wants us to have in our hearts. The first one was anger. Last week we talked about lust, and this week we're talking about false commitment. But what is a false commitment? Look on the screen, guys. False commitments are commitments or things we say we are going to do and we do not do them. We're going to do something, man. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to do it. And we end up not doing it. So you check this out. What are some examples of false commitments? Check this out. Saying you're going to help out on a group project, but you don't. Anybody understand what I'm saying? But like, girl, I got you. I'm about to help you. Let me go get that poster board. And then you be missing out, girl. You lost. You know what I'm saying? Everybody looking for you. You don't know where you're at. Hey, man, I need help doing this project. Boom, boom. Can you help me? I got you. And you don't show up. Lord Jesus, I know. Can I be guilty? I'm guilty of every single one of these examples, guys, so just hear me out. I remember, man, they used to be like, yo, Marcellus, man, we got to do this group chat. Oh, dope. Let's do it. And I'm sitting, I'm talking the whole time. I'm just chilling. They're joking. They up there drawing. They doing a little math junk. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, man, whatever. Right? But that's the thing, though. Exactly, right? But another one would say, man, I'm going to tell my parents, you know what? I'm going to do my laundry. Mama, I got you. I'm going to do the laundry, ma. 3 weeks later, that laundry basket 10 feet high. You know what I'm saying? Listen, I'm guilty of that. I'm telling you. My mom be like, son, I need you to do your laundry. I'm tired of your laundry coming out your doggone door. Be like, ma, I got you, ma. This weekend, I ain't got nothing to do. I go do my laundry. I got you. And that joke is still sitting there. You understand what I'm saying? Still sitting there. You understand what I'm saying? Exactly. It's been sitting there forever. Stuck together. Lord. Check this out. Mama, I'm going to do the dishes. Mama, I know you cook. I'm going to wash them dishes for you. You know what I'm saying? Some of y'all got dishwashers. Don't even use that. You know what I'm saying? Listen, Mama, I'll put the dishes in the dishwasher. Them jokers are stacked all high and junk. What are you saying, Marcus? I'm saying I'm going to do something. I'm committing myself to something, but then I don't do it. What about saying we're never going to make that mistake again? What if we say, man, I'm never going to lie again. I'm never going to watch that thing again. I'm never going to do it. Matter of fact, I'm not going to be like my dad. I'm not going to be this way. And then we end up doing it. But check this out. All of these lack one thing. And that's integrity. Everybody say integrity. Check this out. God desires integrity from every single last one of you in this room. What is integrity? Integrity is when one desires to obey God even when no one's looking. Check this out. Marcellus, man, what you talking about? I don't cuss on Sunday mornings. Right? You know what I'm saying? Marcellus, man, I don't watch that when I'm around my parents. Marcellus, man, I ain't gonna do that when no one's home. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying, is that a false commitment is saying that, man, I'm gonna do something and I'm making an oath. I'm making I'm swearing to this thing, I'm gonna do it, and I end up not doing it. Exactly. But check this out, guys. Jesus talks about the same thing in Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 through 37. Check this out. He says, again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath. Everybody say your oath. But fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. So here's Jesus. Jesus is speaking to Jews. Now, if you know anything about Jews, Jews were given the law by God, okay? And in the law, it says that very first verse, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But here's the thing. At that time, they were getting taught things. They were getting taught the surface of what the scriptures were meaning, but not the depths of it. See, they were teaching you, hey, man, you need to do this. But Jesus is after something so much more. He's coming after people's hearts. So here's the thing. He's saying, listen, verse 34. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Why is Jesus saying the earth, God's throne, heaven, all these things? It's saying this. Yo, I swear to God. Y'all know y'all be doing that. Check this out. What does that mean? Yo, mama. Oh, mama. Y'all know how people be saying that? Look, oh, my daddy. You know what I'm saying? Bro, I ain't lying. Oh, my mama. Oh, God. I ain't do that. What you're doing is you're swearing, and it's not just, when you people say swear, we think of cuss words or anything else, but we're talking about this. Look what to swear means right there in that verse. That means to do this. It's okay. To swear means this. To promise solemnly. Look, I promise. I swear to this thing. Usually invoking a divine witness. So what you're saying is, yo, I swear. What you're doing is you're inviting God to account for what you are saying. So here's God coming alongside. You're inviting God to come alongside of you of the declaration that you're making. And then, so now, check this out. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay, hold on. Matter of fact, let's go for it. Now, you're inviting God to account for something that you said you're going to do, but then you don't do it. So here's the thing. As Christians, people are looking at us, and they see you when you go to school. Man, they see the cross necklace. You feel what I'm saying? Yo, on God. But yet, our lifestyle doesn't back it up. I say, man, I go to church. You should come with me, bro. But then after you leave church, you know what I'm saying, the same guy you invited to come to church, man, y'all watching things you have no business. Or it's like, man, we're cussing in a group chat. Or, man, I'm doing things I know that's not right. What am I saying, Marcellus, is that we're misrepresenting God, and we invited him into the situation. So here's the thing. Let's look at, what are you trying to say, Marcellus? I'm saying this, that Jesus desires us to be young men and women of our word. Of our word. Let's go back to verses 36. Look at this. He says, and don't swear by your own head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. So what are you saying, Marcellus? I'm saying this. When we commit ourselves to something, yes, I'm going to do it, or no, I'm not going to do it. You feel what I'm saying? What you're saying is that, okay, on God, that when I'm going to do this thing, I'm inviting God into the situation, and then if I do not fulfill the very thing I said I'm going to do, it don't even look bad on me. You're making God look bad too. So here's the thing. Check this out. This means what you say matters. Everything that you say matters. Because why are you saying this, Marcellus? See, this is authority. There is authority in your words. Watch this. Your words have weight. No matter what you say, no matter how simple it could be, your words have weight. And what you speak has power. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21, it says this: the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. So what is he saying? He's saying this, is that when I speak, whatever I speak has power to do what? Bring life or death. So what you speak, what you say, it has authority or it has power behind it, no matter what it is. If you remember what we talked about a while ago, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about anger and how when you cursing and junk, that, yo, you in trouble with Jesus. But check this out. The reason why is because what you're saying about that person is that you're cursing them legitimately when you're trying to cuss them out. Because so what is he saying is that when you're speaking to people, when you're talking to them, what you're saying towards them, it has power. You're not just letting words out in the atmosphere and they just, you know, dissolving. Check this out. Ecclesiastes 5:5 says this: it's better to say nothing than to make a promise and not keep it. Listen, bro, I'ma come through. I got your back, man. Yo, I got your back, bro. And whatever you're going through, but then they come to you, like, bro, I need you, boo boo, and then we don't. We're not there. You understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to paint a picture of us making a promise or making an oath to someone, like Jesus saying here, and we're not fulfilling it. And that's what Jesus does not like. And that alone will choke out the things within our hearts: integrity, purity. It will choke out the things that God has planted there, because why? Why? Fear? Pride? Check this out. God desires us to be just like him. The Bible says that he is conforming us or molding us into the image of Jesus. So the ultimate desire of God for your life is to do one thing: look like Jesus, talk like Jesus, walk like Jesus, interact with others as Jesus interacted with them. But check this out. And in him, there is no maybe. God doesn't say, man, well, I might. God doesn't say, man, you know what? I might show up. I might help you out. I might have your back. No, see, the Bible says all of his promises are yes and amen. What does that mean? You can bank on it. You can bank on it. Like without a shadow of a doubt, I know what God says in this thing right here, this Bible. Every single thing in this Bible, you can bank on. You don't have to waver from it. You don't have to say, well, I don't know. Maybe he might not want to. No. All of his promises are yes. Meaning this, done. Meaning this, you don't have to worry about it. It's already done. Like you don't have to worry about, you know what I'm saying, wavering. If God's wavering back and forth, you know what I'm saying, he's saucing on you. No. God is legit saying, look, I'm down for you. And I always got your back. I always got your back. You don't have to worry about a thing. I'm there for you. I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. I'm always there for you. What were we talking about today? Listen, he is faithful, meaning this. You can trust him. You can lean on him, and he'll never move. Let me tell you something, guys. The Bible says this. He is faithful even when we're unfaithful. Watch this. Why? Because it says this. He cannot deny who he is. That this is his very being is faithful. That surely his goodness and mercy will pursue me. It's coming after you. Even when you leave this building today and you say, man, I still don't want nothing to do with God, he's still coming after you. You can't escape him. You can't run from him. He loves you too much. And he's so faithful. It makes no sense. It makes no sense, y'all. It makes no sense that in Hebrews chapter 10, it says this, that the Holy Spirit will say to us that, man, I've made a covenant with them, meaning I've made a promise with them. I've sworn to them. Check this out. I've made a promise with them. Watch this, that I will remember their sins no more, that I will completely wipe away your mistakes as if you haven't done one of them. And that's a guarantee. Like, God's faithfulness makes no sense. And you are literally designed to look like him. You're designed to look like him. Why does God care so much about your words? Why is Jesus so heavy in this scripture about what you're saying, about what comes out of your mouth? Because here's the thing. Because his word is a part of who he is. See, words have the ability to penetrate the mind and the soul. What do you mean, Marcellus? I mean this, is that when people talk bad about you, when people speak negative things over your life, it affects you. No matter what you think, no matter like what's going on, like it will affect you. How will you think it feels when you speak to other people in that way? You know what I'm saying? Like your words have power. That's what I'm trying to get to. But here's a person in the Bible. His name is Laban. And Laban, basically, my guy had a daughter, and she must have been smoking hot, right? So she was fine. Or it wasn't. Yeah, it was daughter. So she must have been smoking, like, hot. Like, she must have been crazy looking good. Like, she must have been fine. And so you got this dude named Jacob. Jacob's like, bro, I want her. Her name was Rachel. And you got my man. He's like, bro, you know what? Bet. If you know what? I would do anything for this girl. She's so fine. I'd do anything for her. So Laban was like, okay, cool. I'll have you work for me for 7 years. Bro worked for her daddy for 7 years just for the girl. Y'all ladies need a Jacob. Amen. Check this out. In verse 18, Genesis chapter 29, verses 18 through 20. Since Jacob was in love with Rachel, he told her father, I worked for you for 7 years, and you'll give me Jacob for your younger daughter as my wife. And what did Laban say? Agreed. He says, you know what, bro? All right, cool. Bet. Work with me that 7 years, bro. You have my baby girl. Right? So check this out. Laban replied, I'd rather give her to you than to anyone else. Stay and work with me. So Jacob worked for 7 years to pay for Rachel, but his love for her was so strong that it seemed to him for only a few days. Like, bro was in love with this chick. I'll do anything for you. And so here's Laban. Laban says, you know what? Cool. If you work for me, I will give you my daughter. What is he doing? He's making an oath. He's making a declaration. He says, you know what? Cool. I'll do it. But what happens is a couple of chapters later, he's like, yo, I didn't work my 7 years. Let me see my lady. Right? And then Laban says, okay, cool. So he gives her his other daughter, his oldest daughter. And the Bible says that she was weak on the eyes, meaning she was kind of, right? She was kind of, right? The Bible says she was weak on the eyes. Meaning this, like, when you look at her, you know what I'm saying? Like, your eyes won't sparkling. When you look at her, but you're like, she kind of, right? So check this out. He's like, bro, you cheated me, bro. I worked all this time for this lady here, this fine woman, and you gave me this. And then what happens is that Jacob works another 7 years for this woman. Y'all need a Jacob, y'all. I'm telling y'all, ladies, get a Jacob. Jesus. But check this out. What happens is that Jacob works the extra 7 years, and then somehow, some way, he says, you know what? I'm going to leave. The Lord comes in and he says, you know what? I want you to leave. I want you to go back to the place where your daddy is. I want you to go back home. So he's like, okay, cool, man. So he gets all of his stuff together. He gets all his belongings. And he says, you know what? I'm going to take something happens to where he could take half of the flock, or he could take the spotted calves, goats, all that good stuff. Because in those days, when something was spotted, it wasn't as good as the pure, like, all one color crazy stuff. So check this out. So he's like, I want all the spotted ones. So what happens is that, what's it called? They were mating all the little animals. And like 3/4 of Laban's flock was spotted. And so therefore, Jacob got all of his, like basically everything he owned. all of his currency, all of his, what do you call it? Yeah, he got all of his goods. You know what I'm saying? Laban was left with nothing. But it wasn't the fact that Jacob did anything to earn it or deserve it. But what happened is that Laban cheated him. Laban made an oath and didn't back it up. Therefore, God says, you know what? I got you, Jacob. Right? And Laban lost everything he had because he made a false commitment. What happens when you make a false commitment, guys, is that God sees everything. He sees everything you say. He sees everything you do. He hears every single one of your thoughts. And that's the thing, is that when we make those false commitments, God is watching. And he sees all things at all times. James 5:12 says this. But above all, he says, above all things, y'all. Above all, like James is going through so many things that we need to do as Christians. But he says, above all things, y'all. Above it all. My brothers and sisters, do not swear. Not cussing. That's not what he's saying here. But he's saying, don't make an oath. Don't swear by anything. Watch this. Either by heaven or by earth. Same thing Jesus just said. Or with any other oath. But yes, but your yes is to be yes, and your no, no, so that why? You don't fall underneath the judgment. Dude, your words has like consequences. How would that look, y'all? You know what I'm saying? Yo, I had a successful life. You know what I'm saying? When y'all get old, you know what I'm saying? I had a successful life. We go stand before Jesus, and he lines up every word you said. Not all the accomplishments that you... No. You said this. Jesus, y'all, listen to me. Guys, that's why it's so vital. When you make a commitment, make sure you're ready to back it up. You understand what I'm saying? Because when you make a false commitment, it's a weed that will choke out the things that we plant in our hearts. It will. And some of you in the room... We make oaths within ourselves. We make vows within ourselves. They're called inner vows, right? What does that mean, Marcellus? That means this, that within yourself, you don't have to tell anybody else, but you know what, Marcellus, or you talk to yourself, man, I'm not going to be like this person. I swear by it. I'm not going to be that dad that walked out. I'm not going to be that person that might have hurt my mom. I'm not going to hurt my wife like that. Or, man, you know what? I'm not going to treat my children like that as a mom. You know what? I'm not going to do these things. I swear by it. I swear by it, you know? And then within us is that we have this, like, oh, I got to do it. But what happens is, come here, Pastor Sam. I know this is out of the moment. Here, hop on my back.
Oh, word?
Hop on my back. Hop on my back, bro. Hop on it. Hop on it.
Hold the mic.
Oh, we go.
All right, so check this out. What happens is, can y'all hear me? What happens is that this is what we look like. Check this. I'm checking this. Check this out, though. What happens is that when we try to make ourselves an oath within ourselves, we're carrying somebody else's burdens.
Oh.
We're carrying somebody else's burden. And what happens is, oh, man, it's not that bad for a while, but what happens? Your legs start to shake. You understand what I'm saying? Your legs start to shake. But it's crazy, though. This is what we look like. This is what we look like. I look crazy. And my legs are hurting. But let me tell you something. This is what we look like. And Jesus says this. Come to me.
Do a squat.
Jesus! Check this out. Check this out. Mike. So check me out, though. This is what we look like. Oh, Jesus got me.
But check this out, though.
Check this out. Dang, bro, I feel light. Boy, check this out. But check me out, though. Look at this. That's what we look like, trying to make oaths within ourselves. Trying to carry those vows within ourselves. You know, I'm not going to be this way. I'm not going to be a dad that walks out on my kids. But I know that's not what you want. But we make vows within ourselves, trying to meet the standard in which we set on ourselves that God didn't make. So here we are trying to walk out and try to fulfill these vows that we made to ourselves, but we keep on falling short, carrying burdens that my mama carried, or carrying burdens that my previous family or my cousins carry, or what have you. And we look like that. But what happens is, Jesus says this, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burden. Can I get some keys, por favor? Gracias. Check this out. Jesus says this, come to me. Come to me. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary, all who are tired of carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Yo, when Pastor Sam just got off my back, bro, I feel so much lighter. I ain't gonna lie. But check this out. That's how it feels, man, when Jesus sets us free. Jesus can set you free. Jesus can forgive every single one of your sins. Jesus can wash them away as if you haven't made one mistake. Do you hear me? That many of you came in this room in sin. Let's be honest. Marcellus, bro, man, I made some mistakes. Bro, you looking at a person making mistakes all the time, right? But here's the thing, that many times, Jesus desires, all the time, Jesus desires us to be one with him. Jesus desires us to walk with him and be with him forever. And those sins that's in our lives, if we don't repent of it, if we don't turn away from it, if we don't abandon those sins, what happens is that I will forever carry Pastor Sam. I will forever carry those burdens, not only of my inner vows, but of sin. And many of you came in this room looking just how I did a minute ago, my arms sore and everything, Jesus. But hear me out. Everybody, let me get your eyes. You can be free. You can be free. Many of you, while we were singing, I felt, man, that many of you have maybe a dad that might have abandoned you. A dad that walked out on you. And therefore, you made some type of vow within yourself, man, I'm not, right? But what did we just sing? That, man, he will never, ever, ever, our Father who's in heaven will never, ever, ever, never, ever, ever, ever leave you nor abandon you. He will never leave you. With every eye closed, every head bowed in the room, is that you? Would you say, Marcellus, man? Well, first, would you say, Marcellus, man, I have made some mistakes, man, that I didn't ask Jesus to forgive me for, man, and I just want to be forgiven. I want to be washed. I want to be brand new in the eyes of Jesus. I want to be brand new. You can leave this room with a brand new life, born completely again, completely starting over, and there's no shame in this. This is the greatest decision you could ever make in your John Brown life. You hear me? Let me tell you something. God loves you. The one who you're breathing in right now, he loves you. You can't run from this love. You can't hide from it. He sees you. He loves you so much. He loves you so much. And as I'm talking to you, many of you right now, in your chest, you got like this, right? But that's God saying, I love you so much, man. Give your heart to me. Give your life to me. I love you. So if that's you and you say, Marcellus, man, I want Jesus in my life. I don't want to walk. I don't want to leave this room the same. I want to be completely changed. I want to be forgiven. I want to walk out this room this morning brand new. If that's you, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand. Nobody's looking at you but Jesus. He sees all things. He sees what's going on in your mind right now. In Jesus' name, if that's you, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. I see you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I see you. You can put your hands down now. I want everybody to pray this with me. We're all going to pray together. Everybody close your eyes. I want you right now, we're all going to say it together, fix your attention on Jesus who's right in front of you smiling. He loves you. He loves you so much. Right now, just repeat after me. Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for going and dying on the cross for me. You took my place. And right here, right now, I believe and I confess you are the Lord of my life. My life is yours. Have all of me, Jesus. Have all of me, Jesus. Amen. Everybody keep your eyes closed, head bowed. If you say, Marcellus, man, I've made some oaths, man, that I know that are like, man, I haven't fulfilled them. I'm like, man, Marcellus, I made those inner vows, like I was talking about earlier, man, like those standards that you set upon yourself that you know within yourself, man, I can't meet those things. If that's you, I'm gonna pray over all of us. But if that's you, I just want you to just raise your hand for me. On the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Thank you. I got you. Awesome. Yay, Jesus. Awesome. Okay, awesome. So what we're going to do is, I want everybody to put their hands out in front of you right now. Oh, he is a healer. He delights in healing. He delights in delivering. He delights in setting you free. The Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom right now. Freedom right now. Freedom right now. So I want everybody to just repeat after me. Jesus, you see what's going on in my heart. You've seen all those vows I've made. Wash me. Uproot the weeds of false commitments. Jesus, set a fire in my heart and burn away all the lies that I believed. I am enough. I am loved. I'm chosen by you. I can't run from this love. So right now, I receive your love in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.